Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax lists. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage, and he was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them, and the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they'd been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Can you remember what it was like the very first time you traveled with a baby? That always makes us laugh, isn't it? Because we have so many things go through our minds right about the time we say, "Can you remember?" Now there's that first ride home from the hospital, and all of the stuff the hospital gives you. I remember the first time we went in, and they gave us the car seat, and they gave us all of these other little goodies, and I was like, "Wow, the hospital gave us so much." And John said, "It'll be on the bill." They give us a lot of things, but we had all of that stuff the very first time. But I'm not really talking about the trip home. I'm talking about the first time you plan to go somewhere where you'd be gone more than a few minutes. You're going to be gone a little bit. The first real outing. Our firstborn child, Sammy, was born on the 17th of September. She was born a month early. She was really small, about five pounds and some change. And we got to go home on the 18th. On the 19th, John was the best man in a wedding for a family member, which the family member actually also called me and asked me if I would come do her hair. And I said, "Oh, sorry." But he was called to come and be there, so we were there. Now, nowadays, the ones having babies, and you know, Alexis just had this baby, they tell you, especially in the life of COVID, keep that baby home. Don't let people touch your baby. Make sure that you keep them safe. Back then, as soon as you got out of the hospital, all babies were fair game. Mm-hmm. And so we went to this wedding. We were going to be there all day long. So then it took planning. Planning that we got from reading those books that you get before Kindle and internet existed. There were books. And we read these books that told us the kinds of things you might want to take. So we had this really cute pink diaper bag with little mint green elephants on it. And we filled it with clothes and diapers. We had no idea how many diapers it would take. She was 2 days old. We put in bottles of water. Well, we put in bottles and we put in bottled water to put in them. And then we put in formula, and we had all of this stuff. And we had the car seat, and I had something soft to sit on in the pew, and all of this stuff. And we thought we were really ready. But no more than the reception got started, we ran out of fresh bottles. And we ran out of fresh diapers. And Sammy started to cry. And I started to cry. Because I said, I'm a terrible mother. I don't have everything I need for my baby. And so John pulled the car around and we made a hasty escape and went home. We had no idea what it was going to take. And that's just in your car. In your house changes. You know, we're grown-up people. And most of us can relate to this now because we don't have little ones in the house. We have breakable things, glass things. By the way, most of my breakable things are glued together at this point. But breakable things. And we have, you know, corners that are covered now because the baby's coming in. But you have no idea what they're going to require. There's a swing, and there's a playpen, and there's a regular crib, and there's a cradle, and there's a drying rack, and there's the little pad on the bed for the baby to lay on, and then there's the changing pads that you can put everywhere in the house, plus the changing table, plus the storage, and the hampers, and the disinfectant. And that's a lot, isn't it? And that's not all of it. And then there's the toys, and all of a sudden your house becomes the child's house, and you live there. Right? And we just, visiting Lexi, and they have five little ones, like I said, and they have a three-row car, and she said, our car is too small for five car seats, because the car seats are so big now, and they're all still sitting in them. Kids take up a lot of room, and we love it. We repeat it. That's why you get five kids, or four kids, or three kids, because we repeat the process. It's a nice thing. And this is babies. Babies I'm talking about. We make all kinds of room for these babies. 7 pounds or 5 pounds of tiny human, helpless, takes up all of your room. And then how about your time and your life? When you first become a new mom, how many people bother to set an alarm? Oh, no. Nobody raised a hand. Because, you know, I think I'll wake up at 6:30 or 7, going to bed at 10. No. You're going to be up at midnight and 3 and 6, and you're going to get up, but you're not going to be awake. Your life becomes different. You can't just grab your wallet and walk out the door. You have to plan. You have to make a list of all the things you're going to need and go through with all of this, because this tiny person has rearranged your life and your plans. I remember our first Christmas with one of our kids, probably Lexi, because she was born the week before Christmas. And I remember we were supposed to go to a family dinner. I don't remember whose. I apologize to whosoever it was. And we didn't bother to put her fancy clothes on her, because you don't bother ahead of time. So we were putting the clothes on right before we walked out the door, and she managed to make a mess on them. And so we stopped before cell phones, and we're scrubbing the clothes, and we're getting something else to put on her, and we arrived at the dinner late, and the food was getting cold. Babies change our plans. The choices that we used to make are different, even our waking up. We don't use mechanical things, we use the people around us. And we're not passive in this project because we care. We want to nurture and feed and swaddle and read and teach and sing and comfort and all of those things that we've ever imagined, and then repeat. And we realize in the process that we had no idea that our hearts could be so big. I mean, it's a little organ in your body. How can it grow that much? And yet it does. Every single time someone new comes into your life. And I know I said babies because, I mean, Jesus' birthday tomorrow is a baby. But it happens when other people come into your lives too, right? We have family members that weren't born into our families that were blood, right? We have in-laws. We couldn't imagine life without our children-in-laws. Our hearts grew even when they came. We had kids that used to live with us when we were foster parents, and our hearts grew with each one of them. And you think, I couldn't possibly love more than I already do, and then you do. Because your heart makes room for all of them. I know Morgan Nelson just had a baby not too long ago, and she made this post about when she had her daughter, she thought she couldn't possibly love another child as much. And so through her pregnancy with her son, she was a little worried about, is she going to be able to love that baby as much? And she said, what was I thinking? Now that the baby is born, I can't imagine having wondered. We just make room. It's not that we don't love all of this, because we do. We make jokes about it because we miss it. That's why we do. But room is the theme, right? Today on Christmas Eve, the time of Jesus' birth is approaching. And we go back to Mary and Joseph. The man that Mary was betrothed to was obligated to go to the town. Not necessarily the town. I'd always heard that was where he was born. You had to go back to your hometown. But really, it's kind of whatever town you might own land in. And since he was from the line of David, probably there had been family land there the whole time. And so he was traveling back to the land of his people, where probably he owned a bit. And he had to go there. And he was loyal. What we know about Mary having to go with him is that he was loyal to her. He didn't have to be. He could have left her aside because he wasn't married to her and she was pregnant. But the voice of God had told him, it's okay, be loyal to her. And so the safest place for his very pregnant wife to be, even though the journey would be hard, was with him. And so, obligated to travel, they both went. And we know the scripture, we know the story. The time came and the baby was coming, and they needed a safe, warm, preferably clean place for the baby to be born. But again, knowing the story, there wasn't one to be found. There were so many people coming to register and so few rooms in the town to be had. Luke's book even mentions the guest room. And the guest room is typically the innkeeper would live in a two-story home, and they might have rooms to rent, but then they would have a guest room for their personal guests on the lower level. And so even his guest room was already full. No one in the human world had room to squeeze in Mary, Joseph, and receive Jesus. And then there were the shepherds out in the field at night. That was an underappreciated job. Anybody ever work an underappreciated job? A lot of us have worked this underappreciated job. I did dishes at the nursing home. I think that was probably the underappreciated job. TV shows of people putting tar on roofs, and I think there's an underappreciated job. The guy holding a stop sign on a hot day in the middle of summer in the road so they can fix the road, that's an underappreciated job. We have jobs today no one wants to do, but this job, shepherding, was not just underappreciated. Those folks were shunned. Those were the ones no one wanted to hang out with. Of course, sometimes there were family farms and the sons might come and do the job. But adults who took on that job, well, there's a good chance the adults would have been homeless people who would have had no other way to even feed themselves except they could shepherd. So there were people who didn't shower. They didn't mind sleeping out in the field with the sheep because they didn't have a place to sleep probably anyway. So they smelled. A lot of times they were considered dangerous, probably because we're always afraid of what we don't know, right? So they were considered to be just literally disgusting. Not just underrated, disgusting. And yet, who did the angels appear to? These guys wouldn't have been welcome in anybody's home or guest room, but God made room for the shepherds, announcing to them above everyone else in the world that there was good news for all people. He says, you know, you probably aren't the ones anybody's going to talk to, but I'm talking to you first. All people. This is the great news that Jesus has been born. And so now we hear the news. The great advent. The time to approach the manger. And we talk about it every year. How many people have had more than one Christmas in their life? Okay, everybody should be raising their hand. We've all seen more than one Christmas. We have all made the journey to the manger more than once in our lives. And we are called in this season to prepare him room. We sing that, don't we? Prepare him room. We do, believe it or not. That we prepare him room. So I ask us all, how have we prepared room differently than we did last year? We prepare our room. We put up trees. We make things pretty. How have we personally prepared and made room for Christ Jesus? I have a little visual for you. I've seen this visual kind of done in several different ways. And the elements often, someone guessed it at Ohio Street this morning, and she had a whole different story she'd heard behind it. So maybe you've seen this, maybe the same, and maybe different. I'm trying to juggle my space here. My little jar here, this is your life, okay? You've got this beautiful container of a life. Inside this life, you have a lot of big things going on. Buy houses, buy cars, you get jobs. Bad stuff too, you lose jobs, you lose people, you fight illnesses, big stuff. Our lives are so full of this big stuff, right? In fact, it's so full, there's not really room for my other rock. I can't put the lid on. It's full. But we also get little stuff in our lives, right? What's some little stuff you could think of? I'll start you off. How about football season? There's a little stuff. What else is little stuff? Anybody? Programs at school?
Mm-hmm. Jobs.
Jobs? Homework? What stuff takes your time? When you go home, what takes your time?
Cooking.
Cooking. Okay. Cleaning.
Chores.
I don't think I have enough sand to represent all these things. keep going. What else do we have?
Laundry.
I'm gonna shake it, make a little more room for. I was much better about this before. What's up?
All the tedious stuff.
Tedious stuff. Driving takes time. You gotta drive to your job. You gotta sit down and pay bills. Gotta go to the grocery store on your way home so that you have food to cook when you get there. Wow, our time and our life is getting really full. Let's see if we got room for a few more things. Of course we're talking about babies, so all the taking care of the kids, making sure they get their homework done, taking them to practice. What else? If you are one who does that, video games, television time, nowadays called screen time, right? We have all this stuff. Reading.
Homework.
Yep. Cuddling with the dogs. All of this. Our lives are really, really full. And we are in the season when our time gets even fuller, right? We've got special baking to do and special programs to go to and special church worships to go to and extra family members coming in. So our full normal day gets just a little bit more crowded and we're supposed to be preparing room. But where's there room for Christ? Now, this is what I see at youth conferences. So my youth in the room will probably like this. We got to have room for Jesus. So where does Jesus go? Well, Jesus is our water. And let's just keep pouring until we can't get any in here anymore. And even though it looked really full, apparently there was still some room and Jesus could get in there. And it's still working. Jesus is still working his way down into our life here. And this is a great lesson. It's a great lesson for people, for especially the kids that I take to conferences, people young in their faith, people who don't know the name of Christ. This is a great lesson to say, Christ will find a way in. There will be space and room for Christ. But I asked earlier, who here has seen more than one Christmas? Who has been invited to go to the manger more than once? We have all been around this. We know the name, and still, oftentimes, we're squeezing Jesus into the little spaces between. What does the song tell us to do? Prepare him room. Make him room. The lesson is, for us who've been around the manger a few times, it's time, friends, for us to start rearranging our lives and making room. In fact, wouldn't it be cool after we know the name of Christ if we completely emptied the vessel and filled it first with Christ, and then made room for other things? But Christ is the biggest and the most prominent thing in there. Then all the things that we put in our lives would also encounter Christ, because Christ would be all there was within us when we started. I think the lesson goes beyond. I think it's a great lesson for us in our young faith that Christ will find a way in. But now, friends, our question and our goal is, how can we prepare more room? How can we take away from the stuff that's not going to matter and fill that space with Christ first. It's awfully crowded to try and squeeze Christ in. What if we put Christ in and squeeze everything else a little bit? You may have wondered why I started with all of the baby stuff. Well, it's because when we bring a new person into our home, especially a helpless person, we don't ever question it. They're here. We're going to make room. They're here. We're going to prioritize. This thing needs nurturing, and it needs love, and it needs care, and it needs swaddled, and it needs fed. We're going to do those things without asking, do we have time to? We're just going to do it. We're going to pack everything in the car. We're going to rearrange our home. We're going to grow our hearts. We're going to and not question it. And yet, when we talk about the child that came to save the entire world, then it becomes a question. Are we going to make him room? It should not be a question. God didn't question it. God sent. God did it. God made room for us. God made room for the shepherds. God made room for all of the people that nobody else would bother with, and sent Jesus into the world as a helpless child. God gave up all pride and became a baby, and we question that baby. Do I have room for you? The goal for us is to not question it and accept it. We have room for Christ. We just have to acknowledge it. We got to get busy taking some of the rocks out of the bucket and filling more of our time with Christ, so that on Christmas Eve, when we hear the message and we ask, have you prepared Christ's room? Everybody in the audience would raise their hand and say, I have room. I have room for Christ. I have made room. Let me tell you how I've made room. And let me tell you, when I made room, Jesus expanded it to be even bigger. Because that's what he does, by the way. Just like you don't know if you have enough love to grow your heart, you have all the time you need to make room for Jesus. So if you come here and you've been young in your faith and you're starting to become transformed, I encourage you to pay attention this year. What am I doing to prepare room? What do I want to do different in the next year? What do I want to say next year that I have done to make room in my life throughout this year for Jesus? We're going to be going into New Year's next year, or next week, next year, both. We're going to write down goals. What rocks are you taking out of your bucket next year? Or at least some of the sand, right? We are ready to face this coming year, and we lit this candle for transforming love today. What's transforming for each of us today? What do we want to grow upon in the coming year? And next year, shout and sing and say, Lord, I have room for you. Thank you, Lord, for having room for me. Thank you, Lord, for having room for all of us, wherever we are today. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you loved us so much, and you continue to love us, and you pour into us grace, salvation, space. Lord, in this coming year, I pray that we would acknowledge the spaces, that we would grow the spaces, that we would invite you in first and center our other things around you, Lord, because without you, nothing else matters. Father, thank you so much for giving us the gift of your word and the gift of your son. And thank you for the birthday that we get to celebrate, because we know that birthday is the beginning of so much more. Lord, may we feel your warmth and your transformation as we leave here today and in the coming year. Pray all of this in your name. Amen.